In the name of God, and with greetings to all economic activists, I hope you are all doing well and feeling great. We are here again with another podcast and training session, focusing on B2B sales. In this episode, we'll be covering various aspects related to B2B, or business-to-business sales, and I'll be sharing important insights with everyone. So please have a notebook and pen ready, take notes, and jot down key points. Our goal is to help our business owners and entrepreneurs achieve the best possible result. There are certain differences between sales and marketing, and in one of my previous podcasts, I discussed these distinctions in depth. For those who might be unfamiliar with what B2B or B2C marketing or sales mean, or the differences between them, I encourage you to explore all these podcasts on our website under Arad Branding. Listen to them to gain a foundation, as today's session will cover practical and actionable concepts that, once learned, can help you boost your income. In various podcasts, we use some specific terms. If you haven't listened to previous episodes, you might find these terms unfamiliar or confusing. So I suggest you go through the episodes one by one, as listed on the website, to grasp today's topics fully. This way, you can apply them effectively to increase your revenue. The sales process consists of several stages. If you want to sell your commercial goods or wholesale podcast to another business owners, it is essential to familiarize yourself with the process. The first step in this process is lead generation, or in other words, marketing, which you need to know about, understand, and either handle yourself or outsource to be a branding company like Arad Branding. Once branding is established, several things happen. But what does branding actually mean? What is a brand? I've also covered these questions in a dedicated podcast. Branding has multiple effects, and one important aspect of it is marketing. In simple terms, through branding techniques, you can identify and locate your potential customers. This process of finding customers is known as lead generation. In other words, you've creating leads, potential customers who may at same point be interested in buying your product in bulk. But note that not every lead will necessarily convert into a sale. They're just potential leads, not confirmed customers. After you've received these leads through a form, direct communication, or other methods, the next step is to assess the quality of these leads. Are they valuable? Is this lead worth pursuing? You may need to make an initial phone call, send a message or email to establish contact. Once you start contacting these leads, you'll notice that some are qualified while others are not. Unqualified leads may include cases where the contact information is incorrect. The person is a child who mistakenly filled out the form, or other similar cases. We disregard these unqualified leads. However, if the lead is qualified, for example, they confirm that they complete the form on your website and show interest in your product, then it's time to initiate negotiations. This is where the marketing phase ends. And we move on to negotiate. Now there are several ways to connect with customers. Some interactions are through messages, some through phone calls, and other face-to-face. Each interaction type can be used depending on the negotiations requirements and the customer's situation. At this stage, we analyze factors like the level of trust the customer has in us from 0 to 100 and the level of engagement or interest they demonstrate. These factors are measured and categorized under key performance indicators or KPI, which we have also discussed previously. Once these indicators are clear, as a manager, I can decide whether to continue negotiating with this individual over the phone, via message, or invite them for an in-person meeting. In our different podcasts and at our business school, we teach various negotiation techniques. By learning these, you can better understand how to engage with different types of customers. For instance, how to handle a customer who lacks trust, a customer who is shiny and always asks for discounts, or a customer who appears uninterested but actually needs the product. These are valuable skills in negotiation, which is not necessarily innate but can be learned and developed through training and experience. After I begin the negotiation, I start offering some proposal to the client, identifying their needs and providing guidance and consulting to help them make an informed decision. At the end, once I've presented my proposal, the client may either accept it and agree to buy the product from me, or they might decline. If they accept, we move forward to finalize the negotiation, discussing packaging, pricing, and all other details. If they don't like my initial proposal, I present the second option. If they are interested in that, we continue. If not, I proceed to offer a third, fourth, and so on. Presenting various options, we've structured and planned in advance until they respond positively to one of them. The goal is to get them to accept one of our proposals so the deal can be closed. If I can't offer options that match the client's conditions, needs, and preferences, they're unlikely to buy from us and may end up purchasing from a competitor. This has implications for branding too. If you understand strategy, have one in place, and get advice from a consultant, you will be much stronger in negotiations. You'll be able to make compelling proposals that clients can't refuse. But if you lack this guidance and strategy, you'll face significant challenges. No business person can say they operate without challenges. Everyone encounters obstacles. But these obstacles, as I often emphasize, are merely steps to success. Transforming problems into opportunities is what makes business meaningful. A strategic manager appreciates challenges because they know how to turn them into advantages. Negotiation is a skill that can make the journey enjoyable and interesting. The first stage in the B2B sales process is lead generation. Through marketing, advertising, and branding, you need to ensure you have leads. Just as you need a computer to learn and practice computer skills, you need leads to apply sales techniques. It is like wanting to learn to drive but not having a car to practice with. Many people invest in learning skills that they never end up using in life, often because they lack the structure or tools needed to apply what they've learned. People frequently pursue training without considering whether they genuinely needed it. They attend courses that they may never use, simply because they felt pressured into learning. But if you want to become proficient, especially in areas like sales and negotiation, it's crucial to have the foundation in place, leads and potential customers to make that training applicable. For those interested in trade, learning negotiation without clients or prospects to apply it, to just do it is a waste. The lead generation phase is like the engine of a factory without raw materials. Even the most skilled salesperson cannot make any progress. It's similar to owning a car but not having fuel for it. Understanding the importance of having clients, this is what lead generation is about. Once you have leads, you start the discovering phase, learning about each lead's needs so you can build a meaningful connection and ultimately convert leads into revenue. Converting a lead to money essentially means converting a prospect into a paying customer. Our aim in saying the customer turns into money is to convey that I should ensure the customer can meet their needs with the product or service I provide. If I can effectively address their needs, the customer will be willing to pay for that solution. Therefore, I must identify and understand their needs, desire, and wants, which we'll explore deeply in our training session. This involves understanding customer psychology, the philosophy behind human needs, concerns, and personalities. You'll gradually master these concepts through the sales process, gaining insights into approaches that can increase your revenue and success in the market. In the second phase, you need to identify everything necessary to lead and manage effectively. This includes understanding the competition, defining your brand identity, and analyzing your team, organization, and leadership strength. The discovery here is not limited to customers alone. It also includes understanding yourself, your mission, goals, organization, team, and brand. Knowing these will enable you to navigate the path more effectively. In the third phase, we evaluate the qualifications of leads with initial communication. We can determine if the prospect genuinely wants their problem solved, whether they've faced similar issue before, what expectations they hold, how much budget they've allocated, and the time frame they expect for a solution. It's crucial to ensure that the potential client is serious and genuinely in need, not just browsing. Equally, you need to evaluate if your brand identity and organization can indeed solve the problem. This phase is where you learn to assess qualification in depth. In the fourth phase, we discuss pre-sales. This is the stage where you present a sample or preview of the product, showcasing your capability and the quality of your product. Reassure them. You might offer a trial or sample purchase, allowing them to test it and gain confidence. Additionally, regular updates, reports, and analyze will be shared to build trust. The fifth phase focuses on addressing customer questions, doubts, and challenges post-purchase. At this stage, it's essential to be a good listener, listen more than you speak, to understand exactly what the customer needs. Listening enables you to process information effectively and address their questions confidently, whether through direct conversations, emails, or social media communication. This skill is key. In the sixth phase, it's about closing the sale, finalizing the agreement, delivering the product, and receiving payments, ensuring everything is solidified. Finally, the seventh phase involves post-sale follow-ups. This could mean encouraging repeat purchases or taking necessary follow-ups even before the sale to build customer confidence. Pre-sales and post-sales follow-ups are essential parts of the B2B sales. Throughout our training and podcast, we'll cover each of these seven phases in depth, ensuring you fully grasp the principles. We'll build the skills needed to convey our ideas clearly to the customer, whether through direct conversation or digital communication, and adapt to various strategies as needed during negotiations. Mastering this structured approach in sales will enhance your ability to connect effectively with leads and customers, applying each lesson to real-life scenarios. With consistent practice of these structured steps and strategies, you'll become a proficient sales professional. I hope you've taken notes as well, explore each phase and the technical details of commerce and sales further in upcoming sessions. I'm excited to guide you on this journey towards becoming an expert in sales. Until next time, stay tuned for more training and keep growing in your sales skills. Good luck!